Hello and welcome to Emerald Expressions, where we use words to polish a gem that is the human mind. I'm your host, Jaira, the Emerald Amir, and today I'm joined by
Valvin Campbell at Twitter, VCam2016. It's good to be back here, man. How's it going, Jaira?
It's going well. Work's been kicking my ass, but other than that, I'm good.
I'm having to become more reclusive now. That $600 unemployment check leaving, so now I'm probably gonna get this Amazon job. But for now, I'm just living off this less than $600 a week.
Them warehouse jobs will fucking wear you out. This is my son, but this isn't my bitch about how tired I am time. Do you have anything you want to shout out before we introduce the topic?
Nothing right now. Maybe at the end, but nothing right now. Let's get right into it.
Got you. So for today's topic, we're going to self-actualization, how to set goals and turn them into tangible actions. And just to quickly define at least how I think of self-actualization. Self-actualization is learning how to turn your thoughts into something that you can work with or something that's tangible that you can use to plan or use to do actions. That's how I think. Okay. So to start off, how do you come up with your goals? What is the thought process when you're making goals for yourself?
I like to keep it, and I might use this word a lot during this podcast, but realistic, because if your goals are too too big, you don't want to tell kids to temper their dreams. But
I'm gonna get a house in the hills and drive 15 Lambo cars.
You gotta keep it at.
I mean, you could do it, exactly, but the likelihood, bruh. I'm very much the type of person that encourages people, but I try to keep it realistic. Or I try to make it so that they use their talents to the best of their abilities, so they focus on what they can do.
You good? Reason that I keep it realistic is the more attainable the goal is, the harder that you can work for it, and the easier the steps are that you can create. Because that's another part that goes into what I want to create my goal is. I got to look at the steps that are going to lead up to it. Sometimes you got short term goals where the steps are pretty easy. You just do this, do that, and then you're at your goal. Sometimes the goals are long term, where you gotta go here, you gotta meet these people, you gotta build relationships with these people, you gotta expand your knowledge, you gotta learn more things here and there. And those are the step by step things to achieve your goals. And so I make my goals. I set realistic goals first, and then after setting realistic goals, you gotta look at what you want and where you're currently at as you create your goals as well, because your wants and your current. And your current position in life will definitely help you see where you're trying to go next. And those are the three.
It'll help you gauge the distance, like how far you need to go, or what do you have right now that will help you towards a goal, or what things do you need that you don't currently have that you need to pick up to achieve said goals. I definitely agree with the realistic thing. It's good to have high hopes. It's good to try to manifest things, but also don't put too much strain on yourself, because we'll get into it more. Definitely don't put too much strain on yourself. You want to make it so that your goals are high, but achievable.
You also got to be able to realize the difference between dreams and goals. You can always dream big, but
yeah, I can dream to be an astronaut, but is it realistic for me to become an astronaut?
Dream big, set realistic goals. You have to keep.
And very true. You have anything else you want to add to that before I move on?
I'm setting my goals, though. That's kind of my thought.
No, I feel you. I feel you. It's definitely a proper mindset, at least in my opinion, to have. So, moving on to the next thing. What do you do to help translate your goals from abstract concepts into something tangible you can plan for and achieve step by step? How does that process go for you? Or what are some things you need to do to go from, oh, here's the concept I want, and here's how I actually get that concept into action?
For me, it's a little different for me, because I'm more of a visual person, so I write a lot of stuff down. So that's not where the different part comes in. If you want to actually achieve goals, you have to write stuff down. You have to speak it out into existence. You have to bring it into into reality. Just keeping your goals and everything that you want in your mind, that makes it harder to achieve your goals. That makes it harder to actualize what you want. But when you write stuff down,
and also you forget stuff, and like look, if you look at, if you would ever look at my notes, it's full of stuff. You might not understand what the notes, because I'm a little bit abstract in terms of, like, I try to keep it to, like, the base points, because I'm A, like, I'll fill in the details later, because, like, I try to get the gist of the idea down. Like, later on, once I get my memory jogged, then I'll fill in things.
Exactly.
But, like, yeah, definitely keep those things in place. And also, the act of writing down the goal also helps, because it makes it feel tangible. Like, oh, here's something that I'm actually going to work on. Or, like, for instance, like, I mentioned this, but I'll keep mentioning it until it's in reality, hopefully. But, like, the podcast, this is just the first step in a long-term plan I have. And I've been working on this plan for, like, the better part of 3 or 4 years. Like, I first got my logo, then at that point, I was thinking of doing something else. And then, like, as things happened, things shifted, moved into faith. I added, I subtracted, I threw in notes, I wrote down concepts. I keep those all in my notes. I added things. As I was talking to people, things would come to mind, and I'd throw that in or adjust something that I wasn't sure about or do something. Oh, once I heard about something that might help me with my goal, like equipment or programs or other things, I threw that in there. I threw about how to set up an LLC, these other things. Like, I'm just talking about my goals, but, like, you got to keep those things in order, because, like, we're human. We can only, like, keep so much information in our head at a time. If you have a great idea and you're not sure you'll remember it, just write it down real quick. It's while the idea is still fresh and while you still have the entire concept in your head. Because if you wait even a few minutes, that shit will start drifting off.
From
where you
wanted it to be at from originally to something totally different. And
Oh, another thing. Don't be afraid to adjust your goals.
Because
things will happen or you'll have something else. Like, maybe things will be one of your goals might become unrealistic, or maybe something will inspire you to change your goals slightly. Not a lot, but enough that it matters. Don't be afraid to be like, well, this is what I planned, and I got to do this, 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 and this. But, like, oh, but here's plan A. Maybe I should change that to plan C and then move accordingly. Don't be afraid to, like, swap things in, swap things out, add a little research, do a little things. Don't be afraid of that. Adjust. Because life is a constant shift.
Yeah,
you always have to keep yourself
and on the level. Along with writing your goals down to get it from, like, your mind to actualization, you have to keep in mind again your wants. Because if it's something that you don't want, if it's something like if you're setting goals for something that somebody else wants, it's gonna be a lot more. It's gonna be a lot harder to try and get to your end goal if you're trying to.
Yeah.
A piece that everybody else wants.
You're not going to be as motivated. Definitely keep that mind and that priority when you're doing your goals. Not to say, like, completely be self-centered and don't consider other people's opinions and stuff, but, like, definitely at the end of the day, you're the one who has to live your life. Mm-hmm. So make it so that whatever thing you're doing, whatever you're working on, is something that you can enjoy.
And something that you can see yourself.
Or something that you
exactly
want.
And then the last thing for me that helps me make it something more actualized is for me, I like to tell people about what I'm doing. And I know a lot of people talk about keep your moves silent, don't let everybody know your next move and everything like that. But I'm more of a extroverted person, and I like talking. And I like talking about what I'm doing. And I also want to know what you're doing, too, because I want to be able to help you. I want to be able to boost you up. I want to be able to push you towards your goal, too, because
I see the point of what people mean. Like, don't tell all of your secrets. But also, talking to people can help you workshop your goal and help you make your your goals,
exactly,
or your plan more achievable. Like, okay, I'm trying to do this, this, and this, and they're like, well, what if you did that, this, this, and that? And you're like, oh, I never thought of that. Or oh, if you're trying to do this, this, and this, how about you do this, or you use this program, or you do use this? I have a friend that does this. I'm gonna introduce you. Workshopping the idea, like just discussing it with other people, marketing, networking, like
networking.
Those are also possibilities that could happen if you're
telling people you're,
especially like in that. I talked about this on, well, I'm not sure if all of them will be out yet, but like the last topic I keep talking about, network, that one was about creatives and business owners, but like networking doesn't necessarily have to be a super rigid, oh, I meet you at a place, I give you my card, I get your card, I'll talk to you later. It doesn't have to be that. Like, networking can just be how you interact socially with people. Like me, I network for the podcast just by being me. Like, talking about the podcast, shooting the shit with people. Maybe one day I'm in the group chat and like someone mentions, is like, hey, what you working on? I'm like, I'm working on the podcast. They're like, oh, you do a podcast? Like it naturally, happens naturally. It's not the force. It seems like I'm selling to people. Well, I guess technically, like when I do my tweets after, that could seem like it's promoing. But other than that, it's just mostly like, oh, I make connections. I'm talking to people. I'm out and about and being social. And then, hey, this person seems like they would be interested in this podcast idea. Let me ask them. Hey, are you interested? No? Okay, cool. You are? Okay, here's the things I need you to do. And then it goes from there. Like, I do this with pretty much everyone. Or, like, I throw out my casting tweet, and then people are interested. And I'm like, you're interested? Here's what we need to do. Okay, cool. And now we got... Now I made that connection not only for the podcast itself, but possibly after the podcast, I feel I'm fairly closer to that person on a social level as well, because like the podcast usually gets funny. We tell a couple of jokes, we go off on tangents, and just that's kind of how I like to run the podcast, like a conversation. Like I'm just sitting on the couch with a friend, and we just shooting the shit. So that's how it goes. And yeah, I made a new connection, and like I might potentially have another person a person who might come on the podcast again, or if they're not on the podcast, now I have access to their fans for at least that one episode, because when I put out the tweet, I'm gonna add them, like, hey, I did this episode with this person, thank you, and now they spread it to their fans, and that widens up my audience.
Just hyping more up your friends is giving you a networking opportunity. And it's also giving them networking opportunities, because now your friends get to see them in your medium, and then their friends get to see you interacting with them, and it's just growing.
It costs the lovely price of $3.99. Just don't cost nothing to be social at all. And through building up a good relationship now, later on, they might not even live. They might not even be on the podcast, but like they hear you talking about it. They consider you a cool folk. So they're like, hey, other person who might be interested in podcasting, why don't you hit them up? Or hey, I have this friend that makes a podcast. Why don't you listen? I listened to a few episodes. It was pretty good. It's entertaining. Bob. Like, I don't have to make a direct contact because of how I socialize and how I run the podcast. It's very easy for other people to recommend me or other people to me for the podcast, just by being social. Like, yeah, I might, if a podcast like really takes off, I might go into a little bit more of a professional style and stuff like that. But in terms of like how I set things up, I'll probably keep it relatively same.
It's a lot of podcasts.
Like, I like it now. I like the style. I like the flow of the conversations. I don't want to be that robot. Like, here's a question, here's the answer. Oh, you're going off topic. Like, that's not me. That's not how a conversation works generally. If you're having a good time with a friend, you go off on tangents. You tell anecdotes that they might not know something. And then you get back to the topic.
Exactly. That's how a lot of podcasts, like, it's a lot of podcasts where they have people that call in and then they just have different conversations with them.
Like, Well, they ain't paying me money, so I guess not really advertisement, but like $1 million worth of game. You've heard of them, but it's the podcast Gilly the Kid and his cousin, 205, I believe, run. And it's pretty cool. Like, it's just like, you could tell, like, they're just having fun once a week, sitting down, reporting, and shooting the shit with their cousin.
Exactly.
That's not to say that I'm emulating them, but like, I like that style of podcast. I like, or Bill Burr's podcast, or Joe Rogan's. They're sitting down having a cool conversation to have.
Yeah, and that's the
best. And also, shout out to any and all of my friends' podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
I am promoting them. I'm just shouting them out because fuck it, they're my friends. Space Was a Place podcast by my friend Meech. Geek World with no O, so WRLD by my friend Professional Smartass. Let me look up Terry's real quick. It's like Sweet Tea by Terry. Oh, the Sweet Talk by Terry? Or Tea Talk. Excuse me. Tea Talk by Terry. Like, just shouting out my friend's shit because, like, it don't cost me nothing. It don't cost nothing. We just supporting our fams, our friends and family out here. Moving on to the next point then. How can you hold yourself accountable if you're lazy, unmotivated, or otherwise detract from the goals?
To stay motivated, you just gotta. that's my bad. Got a little cough right now, but nothing major. No, man.
You got the Rona?
I'm happy I don't got that much.
I'm not in the same room with you.
I don't got them. Like, I went and got tested last week. Don't got it. Negative.
We happy to hear that, but sorry, continue.
The way to hold yourself accountable and to stay focused on your goals, even when laziness hits, because it's gonna be times where you don't feel like getting up to do your goals. It's gonna be times where you just feel like I could take this little rest day. I could do this. I could do that. I don't have to keep pushing every day. And when those days hit. It's all about your mindset. It's all about your mindset and remembering the reason that you started this goal in the first place. And so with your mindset, it matters because if you're just taking a day off, relaxing, and you think of it, you go in thinking, yeah, I'm not going to do nothing today. I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to lay down, watch TV, do nothing. I'm not really going to get out to bed, do nothing today. If you go in with that mindset, it's the mindset of nothing is happening. But if you go in with the mindset of this is my rest day, this is the day I'm just taking out to relax. I'm taking this day out to relax, to reset, to recharge my battery so I can get back to it the next day and get pushing on back to my goal. Mm-hmm. Then it's a mindset of you need rest because everybody needs rest. No matter how hard you're pushing, no matter how much exercise you're doing, you need rest. And that day of rest can help you rejuvenate yourself. And it's just in your mind, like, because you're still doing the same thing.
That's very important. If you're focusing too hard for too long, then you have the adverse effect where you're putting out whatever you're putting out isn't up to par because you're tired. Like it's literally
you can tell.
Always be confident. And also, my few hiatuses weren't me just being a slacker or having mental breaks. I was just in the planning phase. That's totally what it was.
It was planned. We were plotting on our next moves out here.
You guys didn't see how I came back with like 50 bajillion episodes after each break.
Honestly,
it's not that I just was like, oh crap, I took a long time off. Maybe I should give them a whole bunch of content to make up for it, but it definitely isn't that latter thing. It was all a part of the plan.
The master plan. They just ain't see it because we keep our moves silent. We keep it silent out here.
In silence, like lasagna, like Lil Wayne said, in the words of Lil Wayne.
In the words of the great 21st century philosopher, Dwayne Carter.
7'8" money.
But no, that's what it really is. It's a mindset thing for when it happens. You just got to be able to keep your mind focused on that. This isn't me just doing nothing. This is me taking a break. This is me taking a needed break, a needed rest. And then also, when it
comes, but you also have to know when it's too long, when the rest is a little bit too long. Like, if you've been rested 5 days in a row, staying one minute during those 5 days, you probably might need to get back on the horse. Unless you have you're taking an extended break. But if you're supposed to be working, but you ain't done none, 5 days, 6, 7 days, a week, 2 weeks, you might want to start thinking, okay, how do I get back on the horse? How do I readjust back into something?
And that's where the second part comes in, where you got to remember the reason for your starting your goals in the first place. And that's why writing stuff down also, it all connects. Like, you see how it all connects. You got to write your goals down so that you can reflect back on it when you get to these moments where you I don't feel like getting into the groove today. I just can't get up. So you can go back and look at what you wrote down, why you're doing this goal in the first place, what the goal is. You can see where you're at currently, and you can see just how close you really are to your goal, because that's another part that happens. You it seems like your goal is unobtainable. It just looks like your goal is so far away, and there's just no reason to even keep trying to go for it, because it don't look like you're going to be able to ever attain it. But when you look at where you started from, when you wrote down your goal.
Yeah, that's another thing, keeping your goals in perspective. Making sure that, whatever goal you're working on right now seems like it's too much or it's hard to put into plan, go literally shift them down to something else that is easier to think about or easier to put into action.
Exactly.
Don't just hold yourself up oh my God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And just pretty much just sink your shit. Mm-hmm. You got to shift into the next thing. That actually brings up the next question. So, conversely, how important is it to learn to not beat yourself up if things don't go as planned or as smoothly for you as they have for other people?
I'm working on this one myself, man. Not beating yourself up when you don't achieve the goals that you're looking for. Like, if you set a timetable for your goals, and you don't make that timetable, or if you really got to just you're looking at your goals and you got to readjust them, and you just beat yourself up because you're like, man, I should have been able to do this. I should have been able to get there. I should have been able to. And you do the whole I should have, could have, would have, and the whole what ifs, the all scenarios and stuff like that. It's hard to get out of that mindset when you look at it, when you're currently just looking at it in a self-reflective mode, and you get a whole bunch of woulda, coulda, ifs, this, I just needed to. And so it's hard for me to get out of that mindset sometimes. And the best way that I've seen that I can get out of it is you just talk to your friends. You talk to people that's also, learning, growing, and building up as well. And you'll see that you're not doing this alone. You're not the only one that's making mistakes. You're not the only one that's had to refocus your goals, shift a little bit off the straightaway path, take a little detour real quick. You're not the only one that's had to go through that. And it just
not roads are straight. Some of them bitches is real curved. Some of them make you cut back and turn this way and that way and do all kinds of twist turns and shifts. So
just because
if your path isn't straight, that's fine.
Just because the shortest distance between two points is a straight line doesn't mean that your journey will be a straight line, bro. Your journey is not everybody else's journey.
About reaching the distance. I definitely agree with that. So from my perspective, I probably have this problem. I tend to be the type that overthinks. So for a long time, I didn't really set any goals for myself or didn't really work to achieve what I was doing because I didn't think I could do it. I was I'm not talented enough, or I'm not this, or I'm not like these other people. I can't do it, or whatever, or these people. The things I did enjoy, the people told me, can you really do that? Or is that really going to be able to do whatever? And then you allow yourself to be these people said I can't do it. Can I really do it? You allow yourself to be discouraged. You have to find the difference between someone who's giving you constructive criticism and someone giving you criticism for the sake of criticism. And that's a major difference. Someone's telling you, okay, here, your plan is this. How about you do this? Or you do that. You do this. I think you should do this and this and this. And they're trying to help you achieve your goal. That's someone you should listen to, I feel. If it's someone just like always saying, "Oh, you can't do this," or "You can't do that," no, you shouldn't do this. You should do that. You shouldn't do that. Like, if it's always a negative from that person, I say, like, just discard what they say, because if they're never looking into the positives, or they're never trying to help you do something to achieve what you're trying to work on, then at that point they're basically useless to you. And also, don't be too hard on yourself. I cannot repeat this enough. I do myself sometimes, and I try not to, but like, don't be too hard on yourself. Failure is a thing that is part of life. It's going to happen. It's going to happen again and again, and you learn from
it. Don't make me don't pull out Uncle Iroh right now, bro. I will pull out Uncle Iroh out here, man. The greatest philosopher of our time. The greatest philosopher of all time. One Uncle Iroh.
Like, you will fail again and again. I failed in my life many times, and I will fail again many more. But that failure highlights what you're good at. It highlights what you're bad at. Highlights what to focus on, and highlights what not to focus on. It shows you perspective. Like, oh, I failed time, but it seemed like it was really bad, but it's not the end of the world. I'm still here.
You got to make sure you're using that failure as a teacher. You got to make sure you're using that failure as a teacher. Don't just sit there and self-pity. You can feel bad for yourself, because it's human emotion. You don't feel bad, but
take your L to the face. It's gonna hurt. You might want to sit in that for a little bit, but don't sit too long. Depending on how you work, for me, I try to take my L and sit on it for a day, two, three. But after three, okay, L, I got you. That sucked, but I'm gonna move on. Here's something I can do. I haven't really been doing nothing because I've been sitting in this L, but like, okay, let me edit some there photos. Go, okay, let me make a meme. Okay, let me up a podcast. I really might ask. I think I'm, since this is a self-actualization, at the end, I'm going to go over a little overview of what my plans for the future are. But you have to be like, after a while, okay, that sucked, but it's not the end of the world. I still got shit I got to do. What that shit may be, or how often you're going to do it, that depends on the person. But you got something. Whether it be getting up and cooking for yourself, whether it be going, I don't know, getting up, cleaning your room, or working out, Calling the family member, checking in on them. You got something you can do. Not just sit and wallow in the sadness or the failure or the anger.
You got to. It can't consume you. It will consume you. You can sit there.
It can and will consume you. It will fester and it will get a lot larger. Mm-hmm. So, feeling's valid. Yeah. Feel it for a little bit and then you move on. Do that as oh, damn, I never want to feel like that again. Or, oh, that doing that action that caused me to feel that was not the mood. Let me do some other action.
That's facts. Failure is big.
Okay. So related to that, how do you keep yourself from constantly comparing your progress against that of others? Because that could be the real. That's tense from what I've seen to be the real big motivation killer. Thing that keeps people from moving forward or trying to achieve their goals. Like, oh my God, this person's doing something similar to me, or this person is so successful and they're the same age as me, blah, 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 blah. Or by the first time this person was 30, they had $10 million, blah, 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 blah.
Like,
I mean, good for that person, but like, you're not that person. You have a different perspective, you have a different path. But continue
for me about it. It's a little tricky for me because, for me, I would say do compare yourself, but don't envy, don't get jealous of what you see from other people. But it's definitely, to me at least, for me, it's good to compare and to see what other people are doing so that you can, once again, temper your goals so you can see where you're going. If they've done something that you're doing and they've gotten further at it than you. You can see the mistakes they've made. You can talk to them. You can see the mistakes they made. You can see the moves that you can see the people they talked to. You can see the path that they took. And if that's the path that you need to take, you can take that path. If that's not the path that you need to take, you can take pieces from there because there's always something that you can learn from somebody's story. So you just take pieces of their mistakes. You take pieces of what they did right and you put it into yours. But don't take it as, oh man, they already did what I'm trying to do, so there's no way I can do it. They are in the lane that I want to be in. There's no more room in that lane. You can't take it as that because I promise you, whatever your mission is, whatever your goal is yours. No one else is in that lane. No one else is in your goals lane. They might be on the side of you. They might be on your sidecar. They might be in the fast lane on you, but they're not in your lane. They're not doing your goal. You're the only one that can achieve your goal. And taking those lessons from other people, comparing where you're at right now, that's something I do a lot when I'm looking at trying to grow. Is I gotta compare myself to the people that are already in my position, that are above my position, that are above where I'm trying, they're at where I'm trying to get to, and I see what they did to get there, and I try to take pieces and bits of those and put it into my planning. But
I mean, that's true. You can positively compare yourself, like, oh, they did this. Oh, maybe I should work on this. Like, that's fine. But don't allow what other people have done to discourage you. You got to take what they had done and take the path that they set and maybe make your road a little bit easier, but don't make their path block off your road.
And the thing you also got to realize is if you see somebody's mistake that they made, and it's hard to tell somebody to not make a mistake. Because sometimes you got to make that mistake to learn. And so that's where I get, where I try to give advice to people. I try not to tell them what not to do. I try to just tell them what I did.
Oh, that's very true. I say this always when giving advice, either don't relate it to yourself. Excuse me. Damn, maybe I got the Rona from you. But either don't don't make your advice completely revolving around you because they have different circumstances. So what might for you might not work for them. But, or conversely, if you're going to give advice, don't just give them empty platitudes. Give them concrete stuff that they can work off of. Like you said, like you work, give them, say, your example. Like, oh, when I was doing something of a similar ilk, I did this, or when I was doing my goal, I did this, and then I looked in this, and I went through this. I asked this person this. Like, you give them something that they can actually grip onto and like work off of. Don't just give them, well, you gotta try your hardest, or work, try to work 10 minutes every day, but like, don't just give them like some BS. Give them something that's tangible that they can use to actively work on whatever it is they need to work
on. That's where I'm giving advice. I kind of find the difficulty in giving advice because. I always feel like when I'm giving advice, it's never what they need at the moment. Like, and I feel like that's what advice is supposed to be. It's something that they need in the moment, but they're never going to take it in the moment. And so,
I mean, it does. My thing is, it doesn't matter when advice is followed, as long as it's followed. If you give them the foundation, they can build on that foundation tomorrow. They can build on it 10 years down the line. As long as they have the foundation there, they have something to build off of.
That's
the way I look at it. They could never use that foundation, but it's there for them. And that's as best as you can do as a person looking outside, giving advice. Give them the foundation, and what they do with it, they do with it. You've done your job. Don't try to make it so that, oh, they didn't follow my advice, blah, 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 blah. It's not about you. It's their goal. It's their thing. They have to work for it. You can bring a horse to water. You can't make him drink. If you're giving good advice, eventually, if they're smart, that's a very big if, but if they're really serious about their goal and they're smart and, like, you gave them a good foundation, they'll build off of it. They'll build off of it eventually. They just have to go at their own pace. Like I said before, everyone has their own pace. Everyone is driving Lamborghinis. You might be whipping it in your little Fiat. You might be in your mid-sized sedan. You might be in your Hummer. But you won't get, as long as you get to your destination, no matter what you arrive in.
As long as we get in there. That's the main thing. We got to get there. That was it. I needed that advice right there.
Hey, we all about helping out the homies, bruh. Especially in these toughest of times, we trying to uplift people. We ain't positive trying to do that negative nonsense. Positive. What is? You just remind me of that video. It's those those two twins talking at the same time. You know what I'm talking about? The two girls. Good vibes only. Like, they're like summoning and shit. Like, that shit creepy. Like, fucking. It's like the shining shit, hearing them say the exact same words at the same time. Whatever. I'm going off on a tangent. It's unless people saw the video, they're not going to know what I'm talking about. But what you just said was like, nothing but good vibes only. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, this shit is so weird. Why are you talking at the same time? Stop that. Wait, do you have anything else you want to add to it?
Do I? Oh, I kind of don't even remember the question. We went on advice. I was going to give some more.
Oh, it was how do you keep yourself from constantly comparing your progress against that of others? But basically, how do you keep it so that you're just working on you, not like, oh, by this point, someone else was at this far along or this. Like, how do you keep it so that your perspective is on you and keeps your abilities and your things into your resources in mind?
I think I gave my answer. Yeah, I think that was all I had for it. Was definitely the don't get jealous or envious when you are looking at theirs. Yeah.
Fair enough. Gotta keep within perspective and envy is definitely not a good thing when you're trying to achieve things. Get back. So an important part of self-actualization is learning to prioritize yourself and your own happiness foremost. What are some tips or methods you use to center yourself and focus on what you need to do?
Kicking on some Ari Lennox. But most definitely, music is a big part of centering myself. Because, and it's not even something that I can explain. And it's just a feeling that I get when I'm listening to certain music, like Ari Lennox.
I use music to motivate myself a lot as well. I said I use music a lot as well. Like, usually when I'm working or doing something, I have music on in the background.
But I'm not gonna sit here and try, because I was gonna sit here and try and really try and explain the feeling that I get, but I really can't explain it. But when I'm listening to people,
you can try to explain it. Maybe someone out there will get what you talk about. Catch on somebody.
When I'm just like, when I kick on some Ari Lennox music is definitely the new. I don't want to say it's the new soul music, but it's the soul music for our generation, because we have total different experiences from our parents. And listening to the old R&B music, that's just talking about the experiences that our parents had. And while it's still great music to hear and you get different messages from their music, it's not your story anymore. It's the story of the past. And so
I can like an Otis Redding song, but am I going to really feel
exactly
what Otis Redding was talking about?
Probably not. Exactly.
Because, you know, I wasn't born during segregation and shit like that. Like,
and so,
like, I can relate, so, but I'm not Lennox fully there.
Her lyrics and her voice, it just puts me in this mood where I'm not self-reflecting, but I'm looking at my life. And introspective.
You're introspective.
And there we go. You was right, man. Somebody wouldn't know what I was talking about. You would know what I was talking about, Jair. It was you.
You were the chosen one. It was you.
It puts me in this introspective mood, and I just get to look at my life, and I guess it's to see that, man, even though I'm not where I want to be at right now, where I'm at right now is still better than where I started at. And as long as I just keep moving, and I don't get stagnant, and even if I do go back, like, even if I do take that step back, I know I took two steps forward, so it's all good. I'm still growing. And that's what Ari Lennox music does for me. And other ways that I stay happy is, once again, it's definitely just talking with people about my goals, talking to people about their goals, seeing where they're at right now, seeing how we can grow together, seeing how we can both reach our goals, even if our goals aren't the same goals. Even if your goal is somewhere all the way over here, while my goal is on the other side of the planet of yours, we still can see how we can get to our goals together. And yeah, those are the two main reasons. Those are the two main ways I regain my happiness and kind of put myself in tune with where I'm going and where I'm at. Definitely. And this isn't a promotion, but it's definitely. But I'm always constantly promoting Ari Lennox. So if you ain't listening to Ari Lennox, go kick on that Shea Butter Baby. I promise you.
He's trying to put you on.
Shea Butter Baby. Go listen to that album. This is what you need in your life. If you think it ain't what you need in your life, I promise you, it's what you need in your life. But off of that, yeah, those two things most definitely.
Well, I feel that. I definitely feel that. Like I said, I listen to music when I'm trying to. Well, I'm constantly listening to music because, like, I'm just a really big fan of music. But, like, especially when I'm, like, I'm reading something or I'm trying to write something, like, when I try to write the podcast notes, I'm usually listening to music. Unless, like, I feel like I really need a button down because, like, I'd be lazy. A lot of times I'd be writing the podcast notes right before. Like, I was just the notes literally probably, like, yeah, 5 minutes before we started recording. Sometimes it'd be like that. Sometimes I'm finishing in beforehand, but the thought process and the work process are variable. So moving on to the next thing, man. Focusing on yourself involves knowing when to let go of someone who you may love, but isn't a positive or constructive presence, at least not in their current state. How do you determine when someone is more detrimental than helpful? And how do you go about separating yourself from that person?
So for this one, the only way that you really can know is you got to take a step back. You got to look at the entire situation. Because while you're going through the situation, in your mind, this person, they're your friend, they're your family member, they're someone that's close to you. And you can sort of put that filter, that blinder over everything they're doing and sort of spin it into a good way while you're in the moment, and you can spin it. And so the only way you can realize that what they're doing is detrimental to you, you got to be able to step back and look at really what they're doing and what they're saying to you. And after you take that step back and you review and you see everything that's happened, if what's best for you is to remove them from your life or remove them from your current situation, the best way to do it, I don't even know if I have that answer, man. But if you don't have that answer, life most definitely will help you out with it, because you're going to continue to live your life and it's just going to, you're going to grow apart from them for real. But a healthy way to do that? I don't know if I got a healthy way to do it.
I mean, depends on the person. But this is something I say often. People who might know me know I say this a lot. But I think this is something you need to do with pretty much everyone in your life. Occasionally. You don't always have to be doing it, but like, occasionally sit down. You don't have to actually physically write it. It could be mental, but like, do a list. Here's this person. Here's the positives they have or they bring to the table, or here's the negatives they have and they bring to the table. And you got to balance that out. If they have more positives, or the positives are things that you value more, then that person's worth keeping. That's a person worth investing in more. If it's a person where they have more negatives, or the negatives are more impactful on you as a person, then that's someone that's considered toxic, at least to you. They may not be a toxic person in general or to other people, but in your current situation, they are toxic to you. They bring you down. That's someone that you need to remove at some point. How you go about removing them depends on the person. I'm the type of person that, like, I tend to unfortunately give people a little bit too much leeway. Like, I try to be the type of person that gives people silver lining kind of guy and, like, give people chances. But depending on how many things go on, how toxic they are, how whether or not they're improving, stuff like that, like, you got to factor in those things. And if you feel like overall this person is a net negative, you got to stop funding them. And I say this, like, it may seem like a little bit harsh to say this in terms of, like, business or, like, an investment, mm-hmm. but, like, that, you got to think about it that way. Like, you want to keep paying money to something that doesn't do anything for you. Like, if you had, say you're paying a subscription and you're just not getting anything from it, eventually you're going to cancel that because that's a waste of money. Your emotions, your mental health, your other capitals, those are capital as well. And you got to think of it like an investment. Am I getting dividends out of this person? Are they giving me back something that's valuable, I consider valuable? Okay, I'm going to keep moving it, putting in things to them. If I'm just putting in and in and in, and I'm not really getting out what I need to be getting out, that's where you pull out the deal. That's where you divest yourself of that person. How you go about it is it depends on the person. Like, for me personally, I'm the type of person that, like, I just drop back. I peep game. And I don't say nothing. Like, if someone's not contacting me or initiating contact, okay, cool. I won't say anything. You've proven to me that I'm not worthy of any sort of effort. Okay, I'm gonna just stop putting in effort.
That makes sense. That makes sense for real.
I mean, how other people, how you handle it depends on your personal. The way you do things and how your person, but, like, once you've sat down with this person or these people and you figured out, okay, they're net negative. Now you got to go about, okay, how do I extricate myself in this situation?
Yeah.
I won't say there's a wrong way or a right way. But it gotta be your way.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta be something that works for you.
That falling back, reciprocating energy.
You have anything else you want to add to that?
Oh yeah, I was just
definitely. Let me just make this point clear. Things don't always have to be 50-50. It depends on what you consider to be the acceptable level. So if you're the type of person where 75-25 works for you, cool. If you're the type of person where you're giving 25 and they giving 75 and that works for both people involved, cool. But just make sure both people are in agreement with that power shift or energy transfer. Make sure both people are in agreement with it so there's no resentment, and also make sure that that is something that's important to you. You got to make sure if you feel like the levels are off, like you give it a little bit too much then you're ready, or they're not giving it enough, that's when you got to start thinking, it's worth keeping putting in. You can't let yourself get into that sunken cost fallacy. That's where that's where gamblers and, like, a lot of people who lose a lot of money and that kind of stuff, that's where they get lost. But also, that's where codependency comes in. You just keep that person around because you're used to them being around, not because they're doing anything positive.
It's a scary spot to be in because...
And you can be codependent not just in, like, a romantic relationship. You can also be codependent with family. You can be codependent with friends. You can be codependent with a coworker. It's just someone you're so used to being around that you're like, oh, I don't want to even think about not being around this person, even though this person isn't good.
And that rationalization is the real problem that comes in with codependency, where you can rationalize anything to seem good, but in reality, it's really hurting you. In reality, it's hurting your emotional. It's hurting your it's hurting your physical. It's exhausted for you. And, like, man, you got to be able to realize that. And that one, you might have to cut it off anyhow. You might have to just get the jaws of life to break that chain off, because you got to be able to get out of that so that you can regain yourself, so you can grow yourself. And regain that energy that you lost, and regain that emotional anchor that you just put on them, or that they put on you, because they can put it could be vice versa, where or they're codependent on you, and you think that you're helping them grow, but really they're just using you, using your energy because they know it's there. You gotta watch those leeches. That's what we call them.
Yeah, don't get too much into someone who's not putting nothing in. If someone only contacts you when they need something, that's a negative. Like if they don't contact you to say hey, or if one that they get a check on you, they immediately start talking about something about them, that's a no. Nah. We ain't doing that imbalanced stuff over here. So the last thing. So learning how to balance self-improvement and social activities like friendships and relationships are an important step in self-actualization. How do you go about balancing your social, your romantic, your business, and your personal goals? How do you go about managing
those? Well, you figure that one out. You let me know. Cause...
God damn.
When you figure out what I'm working on it myself, make sure you call me first. I need to be the first one on that one. All right.
Man, you need to sign me your digits first. But like, nah, that's definitely a kicker. That is a tough part.
It seems like an impossible task, like to be able to balance everything. Like,
I mean, it doesn't have to be a perfect balance. Things can be imbalanced. It's just how do you find? You have to be able to work it so that you find time for a little bit of each thing. Like this last week or so, I've been real busy with work because I just started a new job. So I haven't really had as much time for social or romantic things or as I usually would have beforehand. Okay. And that's okay. I still find time, a little bit of time to find, do what I need to do. I wish I was probably finding a little bit more time to sleep, but we'll figure it out. Hopefully, sleeping has always been a problem for me, but we'll see what happens. But like things, people make time for the things they find important. If family is important to you, you'll find time to talk to your family. If friends are important to you, you'll find time for friends. If you have a significant other or a girl you're talking to or a boy you're talking to or non-binary person you're talking to, being inclusive here, but like if you have a person you're talking to, yeah, I probably should have said that from the beginning, but so a person you're talking to, but you like, you really like them or yeah, something about them keeps you coming back, you'll find time.
Mm-hmm.
You're interested. You'll want to ask them something like, I wonder if person A ate today. I just saw this thing that remind me of person B. Let me slide this in their DMs or let me text them. Hey, person B, I saw this. I immediately thought of you. You'll find your time. You definitely have to find time for yourself as well. Relaxing, like we said earlier, but finding time to relax, finding time for you time is definitely important, especially if you're otherwise engaged. Like, say you're in a relationship. A lot of people make the mistake, in my opinion, of, oh, I always got to be 24/7 with my partner. No, that's not how that works. Be around them a lot, definitely. You enjoy them. You enjoy their presence. Mm-hmm. But you also need time for you. If you're worrying about what person B's needs and priorities are and not your own, you're going to crack. It's not a matter of, are you going to crack? It's a matter of when and you're going to crack. So it's like you're not focusing on what you need to do.
Too. You can't just... Wow.
Like it's okay to be selfless sometimes and do things for other people, but you also gotta do for you. Because after a while, the happiness dries up. You can only do but so many things for a person before it starts to feel like, wow, I'm doing everything for this person and nothing for me. And then that's where the resentment creeps in, and that's when the other stuff creeps in. So if you want to have a long, healthy, lasting relationship, why am I speaking like I'm a relationship expert? This man, I've been single for 23 years. But speaking from an outside perspective, which is always the greatest perspective to give advice. I'm just speaking in general. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be romantic. But if you're in a you're in any sort of relationship, platonic, familial, romantic, sexual, and you're always the one giving, you never have time for yourself, or you never receive as much. That's unsustainable. That's going to crack eventually.
It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you a lot. Like,
And depending on how badly you crack, it's going to end bad for them too. So you want to make sure you have enough time to do whatever it is you need to do, whether it's have an hour a day to listen to music, or maybe you're an artist, a few minutes a day to draw, or whatever. Watch your shows, read a book, ride your motorcycle, whatever it is that gets you to unwind and relax and feel like yourself, you gotta find time for it. Like, I recommend scheduling at least a little bit of that time every day if you can, but if not, if you only, like, say you got kids or something, and your schedule's real packed, make sure on the weekends, they know it's daddy's day. Do not bother him. He will cuss you out because it is daddy's day. Or today is mom's day. Do not bother her. She's. If you hear that soul music going, it is time for mom to do mom things. So make yourself busy.
Make yourself busy away from me, please. Please.
Make yourself busy. And if I have to hear you and interrupt my me time, no, it's going to be a problem. You're not going to like it when I interrupt my me time. But, like, that's sort of the concept that I'm trying to get across to these people, my listeners.
And never forget, don't stop trying to find that balance, though. Just because we don't have the answer, just because you might not have that perfect balance, you might have that perfect balance between your life, your personal life, your work life, your relationships, your friends, your family. You might got that perfect balance. Please let us know. But
I'm a unicorn that has that. Especially if they're going to school too. Bruh.
Scary, but
and they sleeping too? They sleeping too? Oh my god. I need to find me this unicorn and ask this god how they do it. But, like, it's a constant process. You always adjust it. Sometimes you might have a little bit more time for something else. Sometimes you might have a little bit less time. But you adjust. And make sure, the one thing you got to make sure you always got time for is yourself. Because at the end of the day, you live your life and you take the benefits. You also deal with the harms and the responsibilities. So, if you need to, take a little bit of time to yourself. Put your phone on do not disturb for a few weeks or whatever. Tell people, hey, I need some time. I'm recharging. Don't bother me. Unless it's important.
That's real. Because that you time is important for you to recalibrate and to just have some. Yes.
To set your goals back in order. Like, you might, like, to relate it back to the topic. Maybe you need to take a little time to, okay, I'm working on this and this is going well, but this part's not going well. How do I retool? How do I make it so that I can start working on this and make it more effective? Or just make sure your mental state is good. Because no matter how well thought out plans or how well thought out plan you have, if you ain't thinking right, it don't matter. Like, that plan ain't getting accomplished, or it's not getting accomplished in the way it should be, because you're not in the right mindset to be accomplishing it right now.
A big part of self-actualization that needs to be mentioned is, when you achieve your self-actualization, just know it's not a one-time thing. It's kind
of... If you hit a goal, that don't mean the end of the world. Now, don't put it that don't feel accomplished when you hit your goals. That's cool. But don't let it be like, oh my god, I hit my goal. What do I do now? There's always life isn't full of... The only finish line in life is death. That's when you're done. It's happening. Until then, it's a marathon. You gotta switch your pace. You gotta adjust. You gotta do something. You gotta stop for a Gatorade break. You gotta do something. You're always doing something. A 75-year-old man is still learning the same as a 3-year-old. What they're learning might be different, but they're still learning. They're still adjusting. So just keep that in mind. Like, don't let your goal seem like the end all be all. Oh, I finally got my mansion. What do I do now? Yep. Well, you gotta pay for that mansion still.
That's gonna be a pretty penny.
Or you need a car or whatever it may be. You got something to do. Oh, you finally read all the books on your book list? Add another book.
There's always something else. There's always the next. And while you're moving on to your next goal, take that time to appreciate that you did accomplish your goal, though.
Appreciate it. Do your little victory lap. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I finally got that part done. Sure. This feels good. Don't just, like I'm saying, don't let the finishing your goal discourage you, but also acknowledge that the hard work that you did put in and the effort. You gotta, if you don't acknowledge those things, then you lose the happiness that you would have gained.
You gotta find
that balance.
I'm
not an expert, so I can't tell you how to do that, but that's what the podcast is for. We're working out these ideas.
we're giving you our current knowledge. We're giving it to you so that we can all grow together.
That's the plan. Do you have anything else you want to share?
Never quit. And there's a difference between quitting and failing. There's a difference between those two things. Because as you do stuff, the more that you do, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. And I don't want to make that seem like a down thing. Failure is a good thing. Failure is a positive thing because that means that you try something new, that you took that leap of faith. And so just because you fail, it doesn't mean that you learn first. Exactly. And just because you fail one time, just because you fail 15 times, you don't want to quit. You might have to readjust your goal, like we were talking about. You got to readjust your goal, tweak it a little bit here or there, but don't just give up on it. You might even have to postpone it. Like it might come to a place where there's actually no way that in your current state that you can reach your goal. So you got to postpone your goal. Exactly.
Or shift it to another goal. Don't be afraid to shift from like one thing to another. Like, don't, like I was saying before, the sunken cost fallacy. Don't be like, oh, I already put this much time into it. I gotta keep going. If something's not working, don't be afraid to be like, okay, I'm gonna put this down. Exactly. Let me work on something else. Let me try to see. Like, and another, to connect back to another thing, don't concentrate too hard and not give yourself any time to rest or relax or be so laser point focused on one thing that you can't see the forest for the trees.
That's definitely what I wanted to give you, is to know the difference between failure and quitting, because you got to know that difference, or it'll be hard for you to make your next move. It'll be hard for you to make your next decision. It'll be hard for you to take that next leap of faith if you're sitting here thinking that a failure is you quitting, but a failure is you learning and growing. That was my last thing.
All right. You have anything you want to shout out before I run through this list a little right quick?
Shout out to Captain Zero. Shout out to Akai. I'm gonna be Twitch streaming. I'm trying to get into it. This new game called Fall Guy just came out on PlayStation, and so it's just like a little fun family game, but this one is like, it's hella funny to watch and just play. And so I'm trying to, I haven't won yet. I've played like 5 matches because like, it's new. And so a lot of people are playing it. And so you can't get a lot of matchmaking. I played 5 matches. I got to the last stage twice. I'm going to win one time, but I'm probably, that's my goal right there. I wrote it down. I already wrote my goal down. I'm trying to win in this game right here. I wrote my goal down and I know it's achievable. It's realistic. But yeah, catch my Twitch stream, VCAM97. I'll be coming out soon.
All right. Just to give you guys a little taste of things I'm working on.
So my long-term plan is a multimedia brand. I eventually want to turn, with this podcast as the first step, Emerald Emirates into the thing that you could go to for many sources of things. Like, I eventually want Emerald Emirates to maybe not be a record label, but something I can release music through. Or I want to be able to have an Emerald Emirates YouTube channel where I put up videos, maybe recordings of podcasts, video essays, story times, a little taste of like me sharing my thoughts and my views with other people, i.e. YouTube viewers and others. That I want to eventually be able to have my own merchandise, maybe like slash clothing line, or like you could get yourself an Emerald Emirates t-shirt or Emerald Emirates keychain or Emerald Emirates backpack or something. Like something to rock the movement, but also, you know, something practical that you can use. And so that being said, here's my plan. So since we're talking about self-actualization, here's some notes I wrote down. Well, technically, someone asked me how I plan to accomplish this, and then I was like, you know what? This explanation is good because like it puts all my thoughts in a row. I'm gonna keep this. So what I plan on doing with them is that they're going to be cross-promoting each other. First, I build up a reliable audience with my podcast. Then I launch my YouTube channel with some uploads of previous podcasts and some original videos. Then once I establish an audience on there, I start to upload songs I make on there as well, see how those perform. And as I'm building that audience, I have shirts, hoodies, maybe other things designed that I can launch whenever I feel like they will sell. And also, I plan to have a central website that I'm working on. It's website building is tedious, but like I'm trying to work on that. I keep forgetting. I plan to have a central website built where you can access all of these things. Each step builds on top of the last and makes it so that the word can spread naturally. Promoting is cool and stuff, but I want things to be spread through word of mouth and grassroots. Like, oh, have you heard of this person? He does really good YouTube videos. Or have you heard this podcast? Oh, have you heard this song he made? Or, oh, look at this new hoodie I got. Oh, you got that hoodie? Where'd you get it? Oh, he makes YouTube? Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to build off of each other.
Not the Dr. Growth paying for the advertising thing, I guess.
And also through my podcast, I'm naturally building up a network of, like, guests and people. I got it there from my Twitter mutuals who also are into these things and know about them. So I can ask them advice and that kind of stuff. And also, like I said, have access to their audience as well. Maybe I invite them on to do a collab. They were on the podcast. Now I invite them to do a collab on a video or ask them to do some voiceover or something like that. That's sort of the plan at the moment that I'm trying to work towards. That's a long-term goal. Right now, the short-term goal is making sure the podcast does well. We recently got to 570 views, or listens, rather. So that's cool. I like to see the growth. Like, if I was to show you the analytics, the growth chart is for, like, this last 6 weeks has been spectacular. Like, I went from something like 300 or so views towards the middle of June to like currently I'm at 570, and that spike is great to see. It's good to see that my efforts are starting to pay off. So don't let things discourage you. Life has a way of twisting and turning and doing backflips and stuff. It sucks. It definitely sucks. I will not sugarcoat it. I've been through many, many a terrible time and many, many an ass time. But through those experiences, I feel like you grow stronger. I'm not sure how I want to end this. Oh, yeah, I'm opening up the podcast to suggestions. So if you have anything you want me to cover, any topics or any questions you might have for me, email me at my email. JairaLashleyCTRA, so JairaLashleyCTRA@gmail.com. My IG and my Snapchat are my full name, so just JairaLashley, no space. And then, or hit me up on my Twitter, DM me, comments on something, JLash20. Just hit me up in one of those sources, and I'll definitely consider it.
Sarah,
and I'll
make sure you rate his podcast 5 stars, the big 5 stars.
Oh, yeah, I never actually mentioned that on the podcast because, like, I don't have Apple products, so I never thought. But, like, if you enjoy what you're hearing on the podcast, you can rate me 5 stars. I'd appreciate it so that more people can find the podcast and hopefully enjoy it as well. I actually get most of my listeners off of Apple Podcasts, which was not what I was expecting when I started it. I expected the lion's share to be on Spotify, but that's not what held true. So, see, that's what you got to do. Adjustments. You might go in thinking one thing, and then something else appears, and you got to adjust to that. Thank you guys again for joining me, as always. I appreciate you guys, and I'm hoping you're doing well. I hope all of you achieve your goals, and I hope the podcast was at least a little bit helpful in making that
Emerald become more the brand. Y'all better be ready for it.
that's down the line. We'll see how that works, but I'm always working towards it. I've been workshopping and working on that idea for 3+ years. We'll see how long it takes for it to reach fruition. Hopefully soon, but I'm not stressed about it. I'm just enjoying my life at this point. Thank you again, Valden, for joining me. You're always welcome to me on the podcast whenever you feel so desire. I'll definitely hit you up with the topics. I'm not sure what I'm going to do for the next topic, but I have so many topics just like stored up. Like, I literally had to choose between like 6 topics when I was choosing this one. And then I have more that are also good. So there's a lot of good content on the way eventually. I'm not sure exactly when you'll get that, but you'll see it.
I'm always ready to hear it. Always tuning in. Thank you for having me, man. Anytime.
DM me your number or something. So just in case, I may not always use it, but it's always good to have multiple points of contact.
Right after this, honestly.
I appreciate that. Thank you again, Valden, for joining me.